Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
Well, is it true that it's the hope that kills you, as in that classic John Cleese comedy, Clockwise, where it's the hope that actually is the most painful thing? Or is it still, Rob, the fact that we still have a chance to actually go into the playoffs and sneak in there if everything tends to pan out? After all, only 6 points behind. I don't know. Are you an optimist or a pessimist, Rob? This is where it really tests one's routine. Or is it just a case of, what the hey, we must prepare for next season?
Yeah, let's just keep going. Let's just keep going and see where it takes us. I think it's amazing. This week we were addressed by Jim Platt, yeah, the goalkeeper in Charlton's Champions. And of course, in Jim Platt's days, there were no playoffs. And so he recalls the season before Charlton's Champions that the team finished fourth, but finishing fourth was just basically that from months before there was nothing to play for. You see, so it at least it keeps the season alive till well past Easter and well towards the end. So we got to be thankful for that. But yeah, let's just keep winning games and then maybe we'll just sneak in there. Never know.
If memory serves, Middlesbrough were, I think, the first club to be promoted under Jim Platt or under Jack Charlton, where there were three that went up. Obviously, Borough were champions then, but because before then, it used to be just the top two that actually were promoted and the bottom two were relegated. So things have changed around
That's right.
So many ways. Sean, clearly, from your own perspective, we've had some interesting results as far as the team's been concerned. And now, of course, we're faced with Swansea City, Hull City, and then it gets interesting because it's away to Ipswich Town and home to Leeds United before, of course, wrapping up with Cardiff City. Is this a doable thing or is it a case of, well, yes, but, you know, all sorts of things are happening in the multiverse. It may just happen. Then again, it may not.
I think we're just enjoying it. As Rob said there, it's nice for us to be on that little run again and to have something to play for. And although it's been commented on, I think, by quite a few fans that we've got a difficult run in. You know, as you mentioned there, I think we've got Leeds, Ipswich, Hull, you know, who really played well against us early on in the season. But we tend to raise our game, and not only the players. I think Michael Carrick himself relishes that strategic battle against the better teams. And, you know, quite a few times we've come out on top. So who knows if we can keep it going. I think Norwich have got Ipswich, obviously a difficult game this weekend as well. So it's all there. It's all to play for.
Well, I mean, March, apart from the result against Stoke City, was not that bad a month. They're beating Norwich City 3-1, getting a 2-0 away victory at QPR, a 1-0 away victory against Birmingham City. Then, of course, we start getting points as opposed to 3 points by drawing at home to Blackburn Rovers 0-0 and away to Southampton. Jenny Finch, allowing for the fact that I'm sure you were delighted that Borough beat Birmingham City 1-0, you've been observing, obviously, from your base in Tipperary. Is it a case of despair or is it a case of, well, I don't know, if we do get promoted, I'm sure we'll be well equipped for the Championship or the Premier League?
Certainly be well equipped for the Championship. The money would be nice. I don't know. It's kind of recurring roundabout that you get close, and then you never quite make it. Or if you do make it, you bounce up and back down again because so much of the team is on loan. And if you lose the players that have gelled together to make a team that gets you into the Premier League, then suddenly you're almost rebuilding from the ground again. And I think that's a major problem for a number of teams, including Middlesbrough. But as far as being optimistic is concerned, I think it all hinges on Hull. Because you've got, we got Swansea, we beat Swansea, but I mean, Hull have got Middlesbrough and then they've got Cardiff, and there's only 2 points separating us and Hull and Cardiff. And I think whoever comes out on top of those matches is going to have a much clearer run in. If we can beat Hull and they go down to Cardiff, I think we're in a reasonable place.
Clearly, it's getting out the calculators and working through all manner of aspects from that point of view. Good news, Rob, though, a very, very exciting event is taking place on the 25th of April. Do you want to actually reveal details of that now and how it can actually get people involved with Fly Me to the Moon actually at the Riverside again?
Well, it's still evolving, Alex, and it's evolved since I put it in the fanzine. But basically, we've got a question and answer with Steve Gibson on Thursday, the 25th of April. I spoke to some at the football club yesterday, and hopefully, they will be able to print the tickets off. I'll get a batch of tickets for people like Sean and yourself, if you so. Yeah, it'll be in the Legends Lounge, and there'll be a donation for the ticket money will go to a charity. So we've got a few things to sort out yet, but I'm glad you brought it up because when I put it in the fanzine, it was before I spoke to anybody at the football club. So to work out how we will actually have physical tickets, I think. But it'd be a great opportunity for people to give to put their questions to the borough chairman. There'll only be about 100 of us, so everyone, there'll be, it is a great opportunity, I think.
Well, we'll be obviously promoting that again as the episode develops. But Sean, talking about calculations, I'm looking at your particular feature in the Fly Me to the Moon fanzine, of course. And you say we sit top of the form table among our rivals with 14 points from a possible 18. Norwich have 12, Preston 10, Coventry 9, and Hull City 4. So although we have some difficult fixtures remaining, as you mentioned, Ipswich, Leeds, and Hull, at this stage in the season, they will be feeling the pressure. Whereas Middlesbrough have the C factor, the Carrick factor. Is this something which you think ultimately, yes, it's a case of that calmness will actually see us through?
I think it's a very good weapon to have a gaffer. Let's not forget it's early on in his managerial career or head coach career, however you want to phrase it. And I've been really impressed with the way he's carried himself. In press conferences, he's not, he takes them on himself after every match and before every match, and just the way he conducts himself. And I think that cascades down into the players. They haven't panicked. We've been right up against it with regards to injuries and players out and stuff like that, and it has had its challenges. But I just think his demeanour and the way he goes about taking on teams and the belief that he instills in his players, I think will stand us in good stead. And it's nice for us to be the hunter and not the hunted. We know what it's like being up there and having teams charging sort of behind and in better form. And maybe not too much last season, but it petered out a little bit. Maybe that was games played and exhaustion, but we just lost our way a little bit and lost our form. And I think at the moment we've found a bit of a way of winning games, if not spectacularly. We've got a really good base and a good foundation to win football matches, and I think we've had like four or five clean sheets recently, which has really helped.
And indeed, open the opportunities for people to actually say Sonny Dieng might be signing up for a club like Blackburn or going elsewhere. Even Newcastle apparently is sort of quite interested in signing that. And no doubt Emmanuel Latté-Lath is also kind of getting a few folk with respect to that. So, yeah, interesting things in all sorts of ways. Rob, let's jump straight into the press conference. We haven't put it at the start of this particular program because it'll be featured at the end. But anything that you got from Michael Carrick, do you feel as though that C factor that Sean's just been alluding to is something which is important, or is it just a case of, well, yes, he's looking to see which players he can sell off in the summer again?
No, it's C factor. I think C for calm with Carrick. I think that, and that was all about that again. You mentioned Sonny Dieng, and that was brought up at the press conference. And I also brought up the fact that was talking to Jim Platt this week, and Jim Platt, well, he was talking about his book that he's brought out, Charlton's Champions, and he singled out Sonny Dieng as the outstanding player he felt, and a really good goalkeeper, and that's good praise, high praise coming from Jim, because he doesn't always praise the keepers, but he did, and I put it to Michael Carrick that it must have been very difficult for him playing. Unlike Jim Platt, Jim Platt played in behind a defence that picked itself, the same four players ahead
John
of him
Craggs,
week in,
Terry
week.
Cooper, Stuart Bohm, and Willie Madron, if memory serves.
Or it could have been Frank Spraggan as well, of course, with Terry Cooper, for Terry Cooper. Yeah, exactly. And those four players played for years in front of him. But Sonny Dieng, well, there's virtually been no two games with the same back four ahead of him. So, and that's been you kind of often base yourself on that rock, that foundation at the back, and Borough have not been able to do that at all. And several weeks ago, when we started this good run of form, we were playing with three centre backs. Well, since then we've only got one centre back fit, and that centre back fit was injured at the start of the season, and he was out for a year. So it's such an unlikely pairing that unlikely way that we're having to play. So it'd be I think Carrick knows that it'd be great to have the luxury of being able to pick between his players and not have the formation and the team forced upon him. And so we've got to hope for that next season that we have more joy in keeping players fit.
Well, you spoke of Jim Platt there, and funnily enough, as the chance and fortune would have it, Jimmy Flynn's poetry line is all about another Northern Ireland star, Terry Cochrane. So, as Jenny proceeds to actually put her critical ears to the fore, as indeed does Sean, are you ready, Rob, to actually take us through this little tribute to Terry Cochrane from Jimmy Flynn?
Yeah, I've got it. It's entitled Terry Cochrane. Borough's Northern Ireland star Terry Cochrane was Killyleagh born and was an international winger who left full-backs forlorn.
With his dancing feet and ultra-deceptive body swerve, hapless defenders he would dazzle and unnerve.
At Derry City and Linfield, he took his first steps in the professional game, but it was at Middlesbrough FC that he grew to fame.
Signed from Burnley FC for a club record fee, a crowd favourite he immediately came to be.
A goal-bound Terry Cochrane in full flight was an awesome, airsome, unforgettable sight.
Shin pads, discarded socks around his ankles in full flow on scintillating, thrilling, goal-bound dribbles, he would go.
Every time an unsung Terry with the ball was found, an expectant buzz went around the ground.
A flamboyant crowd pleaser of the highest ilk, blessed with ball skills as smooth as silk.
Through despairing opponents, he sent a shiver as defence-splitting passes he would unfailingly deliver.
26 times he donned Northern Ireland's shirt of green to parade his skills on the international scene.
An unlocker of defences and creator of chances supreme, Terry added unique dimensions to this national team.
With Borough for five memorable seasons, he played, and into fans' affections, he weaved and swayed.
A flying winger with wings on his heels, with the wonderful magical quality of crowd appeal.
Yeah, and Jim Platt, of course, would have had many more Northern Ireland caps had it not been for a certain Pat Jennings. But there we are. That's
Yes.
part and parcel of the whole sequence. Jenny, what did you make of that little tribute to one of my favourite Borough players, actually? I think he was very underestimated. Certainly was the heart of the John Neil era. Terry Cochrane.
It makes him sound like an absolutely wonderful man and a wonderful person. And I love awesome airsome. I think that's really nice. That's clever.
Yeah.
That's good. Jeez, that's great alliteration. I love that.
See, authentic Irish coming there from Jenny. All good stuff. Of course, there's some further news, Rob, that I see Terry's grandson also has some
Yeah.
musical skills as well.
That's right. It was played over the PA on Easter Monday by the John Foster, used to be BBC Radio Tees, and Tommy Cochrane plays keyboards for Teesside band High Tide. They've got a song on Spotify that you can find. And yeah, I hadn't realised I'd actually watched them and reviewed them earlier in the year. So yes, another great performer in the family.
John Foster, of course, also formerly of Southside Broadcasting, and indeed left us to actually join AA Roadwatch, just saying that basically that was in the days where we had a studio that people would actually come and actually learn their skills in. We don't need that these days, so apparently it would seem. Anyway, life continues. Okay, Sean, let's turn back to yourself again as we consider the season as it's panning out. Let's talk about the game so far. Were you happy with the kind of results that we've had so far, or has it been a case of, well, could have done better, and it's a pity that we had draws against Southampton and, of course, Blackburn Rovers.
Yeah, the Blackburn one in particular, it felt a little bit like the confidence was sort of drained away a little bit with that result, because I think we really saw the opportunity and we were creeping right up on our rivals. But in hindsight, actually just keeping that run going and keeping a clean sheet, as we can see from our neighbours, they didn't fare too well against Blackburn, so maybe it wasn't the worst result in the world. So no, I'm enjoying the solid base that we've got, and I think we've been hunting those clean sheets for a long, long time. And now, albeit we haven't got the same side to call upon game on game, we're slowly getting certain positions a little bit more robust. The likes of Ayling and Lewis O'Brien have really helped with, just a bit of game management, and when we get our noses in front, ensuring that we stay there. So yeah, I'm enjoying the results. I think it could have been an even bigger victory against Sheffield Wednesday, but I'm definitely heartened that we're going in the right direction.
Well, let's find out what the Bartley family actually make about this whole thing. They managed to squeeze in just in time, which is always good stuff. Traffic can always be problematic. Thomas, we've been chatting about how it's again the hope that kills us. Stanis Stan makes reference to that, of course. Are you generally optimistic that this could be a cracking end to the season, or is that just a case of, oh, just send the players onto the beach now?
I think that has to be the priority, really, is a bit of an optimism boost going into the summer, because we've had seasons before. Take a couple of years ago when it felt like the season filtered out. There was obviously the thing with Chris Wilder and Burnley and whatnot, which definitely soured our hopes about the following season. So a good end can definitely carry you into the next season. But more than anything, you've just got to take opportunity of the matches that come and take as many points as you can, because you do never know if other teams could slip up, and if they do slip up, then an opportunity to get sneak in the playoffs could always come. But yeah, obviously the main priority for now is just enjoying these last few matches and getting a good run going into next season.
Oh, we alluded to the Jim Platt feature, of course. Chris Bartley, of course. You were the person really who did this interview with Jim Platt, and he mentions Graeme Souness, Bobby Murdoch, a man I must admit that probably holds the record for the most difficult to decipher a person I've ever interviewed. I had to play the audio transcripts back several times because I could actually before I could actually work out what he was saying with his Glaswegian accent. So I'm just saying it was really difficult. I honestly don't know how the players understood him at all back in those days, but there we are. Any thoughts you'd like to add about Jim Platt? Is he on good form these days, Chris?
Yeah, I think Jim Platt has always looked very young. I think he was like coaching even when I started being a primary school teacher. He was doing a lot of coaching for all different ages and everything. So I think he's always had lots of different interests. But the book is really good. I love all the different covers of the each program from all the home games, and it's got lots of ticket stubs, and it's just a wealth of memorabilia, throughout the promotion season. And it's just kind of thinking about how sometimes in football, some of the decisions Carrick's had to make this season have been kind of forced upon him, and have worked out really well. And that season, it was only an injury to Brian Taylor that caused Willie Madren to drop to centre half to pair up with Stewie Bone. And then when he moved out of the midfield, Graeme Souness went into the middle, and that was your classic 11 that everybody remembers from that promotion season. So I think sometimes, even when you've got managers with a very coherent philosophy, sometimes luck plays a part in getting that final 11. And I think Carrick's had that in the last few games, really. Some of the injuries have forced his hand, but then you've got a team that looks fairly settled at the moment, really.
You also make reference, of course, to Britain's first £500,000 player, £500,000 for David Mills. A little bit of hyperinflation, I think, going on back in the day. But he never really was quite the same at West Bromwich Albion as he was at Middlesbrough. I always felt that was the case, but still, so it goes. Thomas, we'll turn back to your good self because you've been having a chat with Five Live Sport presenter Steve Crossman in terms of the whole sequence. So, again, we've obviously had the notions of gradually education by stealth. What were your thoughts on Steve's view about the borough, etc.? Although he does seem to be quite optimistic that we will eventually return to the Premier League.
Yeah, I think he self-admittedly he said that he doesn't see a lot of games now. He did tell me an anecdote at the end, which I didn't end up putting in the piece, which apparently I think he must do a bit of work with Robert Huth, the former Borough defender on Five Live, and he said that Robert Huth wants to go to a Borough away game next season. So if you see if Rob or anyone else sees Robert Huth and Steve Crossman in a Borough away end, you'll know that he was true to his word. But yeah, I think he is quite optimistic, and I think he's very much impressed by Carrick and the sort of project as it is at the moment. And yeah, I think he, as he said, from the time when he was a fan and first started going in the 90s and then the early noughties, it's obviously a very different set of circumstances. But I think we, some of the games he's covered for Five Live this season, obviously the Chelsea semi-final and things, have been some of the higher points of the year. So I think he's remains pretty optimistic that things are in place and on the up.
Yeah, perhaps one side of the Chelsea game was a high point, the other side perhaps less so. But then again, as Manchester United have recently found, somehow, when Pochettino is actually in charge, you've always got a gamble that comes across there, which is why I'm personally a little bit concerned about the FA Cup semi-final. Anyway, that's by the by. Onwards, Rob, tomorrow, the Middlesbrough Foundation, of course, is getting involved with the Food Bank and Carrick's Boot Room. Would you like to just talk us through this Middlesbrough Supporters Forum request for Borough fans to give a donation for the Food Bank and indeed the Carrick Boot Room for the home game against Swansea City, of course?
This has been an ongoing thing that we've been doing with the supporters forum for the last couple of years, unfortunately. So unfortunately, because it's sad that that there's a need for the food, but if you just can bring some food or some non-perishable food or some money along with you, because we take money donations as well. But there's also an appeal for boots, because especially with kids, they grow out of boots so quickly. And something that Michael Carrick found that a lot of kids' teams, they didn't have any suitable footwear, and then talking about trainers or boots. So we've started working with the Michael Carrick's Foundation and the MFC Foundation in appealing for people to bring boots. And sometimes it's amazing, because kids grow out them. Sometimes people come along with shoe boxes full of boots that look absolutely pristine, or but they'll be given to a really good home, and they'll help a team go out and actually play. So that's all from it's it starts at 12 noon, and you can find the collection points behind the North Stand.
Jenny, this is something which, as Rob said, it's unfortunate, but it's fortunate at the same time because it's one of those areas where you think, here we are in the 21st century, and we still obviously have huge issues relating to food poverty and general other things. And any thoughts from your own point of view? Now you're in Ireland, or is it just a case of, well, thank goodness we're not in England anymore?
Yes, it's sometimes it's enough to make you look in despair. How it got to this point, I really don't know. And Ireland is a very expensive country to live in. It's one of the most expensive countries in the whole of Europe, the whole of the European Union. And there are food banks in Ireland. There are six, two of which are in Dublin. There are six food banks in the whole of the country. So obviously, something is very different here, and something is being done very different here. If I could find out what it was, I'd put it on a little platter and send it over, and I'm sure it would solve everyone's problems. I like the boot thing. I think the boot thing's great.
Yeah, I think we're encouraging other teams and other clubs maybe to think about doing it themselves, actually. I think it's a really good idea, because kids can grow out of boots within a few weeks, really.
And it's so
So
expensive as well.
yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk predictions then. Russell Martin's former side, of course, Swansea City. Up tomorrow, what's your prediction, Sean?
These are the games that frighten me, really, because we've said it so many times on the pod that we're almost in danger of sort of saying, oh, well, listen, if we win this one, and then we've got tough games, and we know that every game is a tough game. And I think there'll be live periods where we might not have the ball. They like to monopolise it. They're not always quite as don't want to say the word, they're toothless, but they don't have the same punch as a lot of teams. So I think they'll have a lot of possession. We just need to be focused. So I'm going to go for a tight 1-0 win.
Thomas.
Yeah, I think I would agree with probably both the prediction and the diagnosis there, really. I think it probably will be similar to how Sean's described, and I think we do have to be careful with these games. You know, obviously we are on a bit of a bounce at the moment, but every opponent is difficult, and as last week proved as well, you can get strange results with strange teams who can put up performances you might not expect, even if they're up for a scrap that, you know, they've got relegation to avoid or whatever. So I think it will be a difficult one, but I'm hoping a 1-0 win.
And Rob?
I'm going for 2-0. Yeah, we saw what you're talking about with what Sean was talking about last night with Liverpool, how it was
It wasn't exactly helped by a goalkeeper who decided to actually, oh, what the hey,
no.
let's just pass the ball to you
I
guys, and
know.
oh, you've scored, yeah.
Yeah, but they came back, didn't they, Sheffield United, and actually made a fight of it. So you don't take anything for granted. And there's a possibility we might have one or two players back fit in the squad tomorrow. So that'll give that'll give us all a boost, I think. Yeah, I'm going to go for 2-0. I think I hope, I trust that we will win.
Okay, I think 2-0 seems reasonable. But Jenny, what's your prediction for this battle of the countries as England takes on board Wales?
I think possibly 2-1, for all the reasons that everybody said. And as Rob says, there are players coming back into the squad. They may not be quite as settled as you'd hope. So I go Borough to win, but 2-1.
And Chris?
Yeah, a 1-0 win.
A
A
1-0
1-0
win.
win, definitely.
Excellent. Okay. Very briefly, before we actually head off to the press conference and listen to some of the outputs for it from that point of view. Two very interesting games, two very interesting ties, Rosinha and indeed the Ipswich Town manager, whose name escapes me at present. Hull City away on Wednesday, the 10th of April. Jenny, what's your thought on this one?
2-0 to Borough. I think they're going to be on
Wow.
a bounce and they'll keep going.
Okay.
We've got to win it.
Sean, you probably sort of agree with that, or are you going to be slightly closer? I'd probably say Hull City 1, Middlesbrough 2, possibly.
Yeah, I think I am going to go 2-1. I think it'll be a nervy game. I like the way Rosinha's got his players playing. Individually, they've got some really dangerous players. So I'd take a win in any form. So I'm going to go 2-1.
Okay, and Thomas?
I'm going to say 1-1. I think they'll frustrate us a little bit, and we'll struggle to get the win. But yeah, 1-1.
And Chris.
I'm going for another 1-0 against Hull to the
Okay.
Borough.
I mean, obviously, this is paving the way for when we actually reintroduce the European Championship Predictor Challenge in the after season scenario, which I'm sure will be opening up a whole range of things. But Rob, what's your prediction for Hull City?
Yeah, it'd be a very difficult game. I thought. Last season, towards the end of last season, that Hull were looking really good under Rosinha, and I thought I thought they would be challenging this season. I thought they'd be even higher than they are, really. But you've got to be an optimist, so we'll go for 2-1 to Borough.
Well, from there to a team that looked as though they were shooting themselves in the foot, but seemed to have come back very strongly, Ipswich Town. And for the visit to Portman Road, Rob, what are you going to go for that one on the 13th of April?
Google tells me the manager is Kieran McKenna.
Thank you.
And I know that he did his coaching badges with Michael Carrick, and they both know each other very well. And they've obviously they took a punt on a young manager. When I say took a punt, they obviously looked into him, and it's really paid off because Ipswich are the Luton of this season, if you like. They're the team that are showing all the teams with the parachute payments that you can do it without that, and so that they're phenomenal. So it's going to be a really really difficult game. And if we can come away with something, which we did at Southampton, if we can come away with a 1-1 from in injury time, then I'll settle for that.
Okay. Of course, we don't have as much injury time or extra time or added time in the Championship as they have in the Premier League, in which case it seems that they could put on 10, 11, 12 minutes. Or, as I like to say, they'd leave it as until Arsenal actually get a goal, basically. That's the sort of line there. Not that they're biased. Anyway, Sean, thoughts of yourself on Ipswich Town?
Well, they've got an uncanny knack of getting goals in injury time, a little bit like Fergie time. So I'd love us. I realise the optimist in me is coming surging out, but I'm gonna say that we're gonna do to them what they do to many others, and we're gonna get an injury time winner. We're gonna keep it tight and get a 1-0 win.
Mm. Jenny, the trip to Ipswich, 1-2 Sabre ahead of the Leeds game.
Yeah, I would love to see 1-0 as well, especially in the last few minutes. Last minute Massimo, I remember. Let's have another one.
Yeah.
And Thomas, quietly confident, quietly optimistic that it's going to be a 2 or 3 points, or 3 points, should we say, as opposed to 2 points.
Well, I'm loath to predict defeats on here, although I think the one time I did it, I was actually correct. But I think I'll go for another draw. We'll say 1-1 draw again.
And Chris, your own thought on the Portman Road event?
I'm going for a 0-0 stalemate. But that defence, my predictions is held up with 3 clean sheets, which I'd be very happy with.
Rob, there is just one more paper edition of Fly Me to the Moon to be forthcoming at this stage. That's not meant to be any indication that Borough won't make the playoffs, because clearly if they do make the playoffs, we will be having podcasts companions to work through that. But how can people get hold of the earlier editions this season and keep their collector's material all together?
Yeah, that's right. If they go to fmttmborough.com, I'll contact me in the usual ways. Yeah, I'm glad you said that you didn't say it about people subscribing for one issue, because that would be mad. But yes, we can supply some back issues if they get in touch.
But when we talk about subscribers, can people subscribe for next season?
They will be able to soon, but let's see how much the postage goes up and things like that. I know it only went up a month ago, but we don't know that the way the postage is going at the moment.
It's currently, Jenny, first class post is, I think, 135, or it's around about that. So for a single first class stamp. So, yeah, obviously the Royal Mail doing some cracking business there. Excellent. Okay, well, we will be listening to Rob and Michael Carrick in a few moments with the press conference. But for the moment, to Thomas Bartley, Chris Bartley, Sean Rye, Jenny Finch. Jenny, how close are we to another novel coming out from your good self?
Working on it as we speak. So it'll probably be Christmas, because even if I get it done by the July deadline, Christmas is how long it takes to get it all finished and up and printed. But, well, about middle of October, maybe. Fingers crossed.
Excellent. And Rob, I think we know what we need to do now in terms of those final few words that we actually need to wrap up with, in a kind of cautiously optimistic way, as we go to actually set the Rory the Lions team against the Swans of Swansea.
Yes.
So after three, then, 1, 2, 3.
Come on, Borough.
Come on, Borough.
Up the Borough.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. It's to be honest, around here it's always been good. So, but yeah, of course, results have slightly helped that. Played well over a number of weeks now, and I'm looking forward to the games ahead now.
And is there more pride as well that you've done it with the resources that you've had? Obviously, the extensive injury list, you've managed to come through those games and get some really good results on the way as well.
Yeah, do you know what? Through the season, it takes that. Sometimes things come a little bit easier in terms of you've got a fully fit squad, everyone's in good form, you're winning games. Other times, it's a bit more challenging, and you've got to find a way around that. The boys have been good with that, adapted, being flexible, and had to dig a little bit deeper than at certain points, and find ourselves where we are. You know, we'd like to be higher up, we'd like to be on a longer run of games that we've had, but I think at the moment we've had a good little burst, and the boys have stuck together really well.
And looking towards what's left of the season, mathematically, obviously the playoffs aren't quite out of reach, but I imagine you'll be telling the players they need to keep up this kind of form to get them.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. It's the only way, isn't it? So, losing games, drawing games is not going to get us there. Not going to get us where we want to be. So, of course, it's game by game, trying to win, building on what we've got.
And looking ahead to Swansea, obviously it's been a bit nip and tuck for them in recent games in terms of the results. What do you make of them as an outfit?
Yeah, a good footballing team. I think the next three games we've got, next week are very similar style of games, really. And Swansea have always been that, you know, playing a certain way, and difficult to get the ball off them. They've always been that for as long as I've played against them, and they're very similar now. So, we know what type of game it's going to be. It's going to be a challenge. We'll have to be good without the ball, and certainly good when we have it, and like we were last week, and we were at Southampton, especially when we had it. So we need to get the mix right.
Thanks, Mike. Daniel, you've touched on that promotion. The playoffs is not out of the question yet at all. Given some of the fixtures you've got left, some might look they are quite tough. There's teams right up at the top of the league. But given the fact that you've shown already this season you can beat the likes of Leicester, I presume anything's still possible?
Yeah, of course, anything's possible. I think that's the league. This league at this stage, teams and anyone else, they end up playing everybody. So it's we've proved over the season we can win certain games at certain times. This is when it counts, you know, towards the end and when things are sorted out. So we've just got to keep trying to give ourselves the best chance and then see where it ends up.
As a manager, what have you learned from this season? Of course, last season, High Flying got in the playoff. This season, it's, you know, there's been difficulties, there's been injuries throughout the campaign, but you've had obviously a successful League Cup run as well. So from your point of view in your second full season, what have you learned?
Learning every day, you know, it's never stops, I never know it all, there's always something new around the corner, and we've had to find different little ways at this stage. I think when you go through ups and your downs, I think find out a lot about ourselves and a lot about each other, and how to adapt and get different results in different games at different times of the season. I think largely we've done that pretty well in the circumstances, and we want to be better, you know, we want to be higher up the league, and we're still striving for that now.
And how is the injury situation looking so far? Of course, you've had a few out lately, as you mentioned there. Anyone expected back this weekend?
We got a couple more around the group. Rav's looking to get back in around the group at some point this week. Hayden's looking to get back around the group again at some point this week. Alex Bongura is back training, which is good because he's been out for a longer period of time. And Finchie's back training, who's missed a few days. So yeah, we're gradually getting some back, whether it's this week or next week for them to be involved with the squad, we'll have to see.
Michael, the run of games you've got coming up, you mentioned, you know, a couple of tough away ones in Hull and Ipswich, so the eye's drawn to them, isn't it? But does that, you know, people might discount Swansea at home this weekend and sort of see that as a, from a fan's point of view, is it, well, that's a fait accompli, but, you know, you can't look at it that way, can you?
No chance, not for us anyway. We're in it, you know, we've got to perform, we've got a game to play, so as much as we know, and from my perspective, you know, there's a week to plan for. Doesn't take our eye off Saturday, if Saturday's the most important game, bar none.
Do you regard a Swansea team who may have not much to play for as a dangerous proposition, might free them up a little bit, potentially?
I just think any team in this league at any point, it's a dangerous game, it's a dangerous proposition if you're not right, if you're not quite at our level, I think it's proved that. So they've got good players, you know, and they've got that style of player that playing in a relaxed frame of mind can be quite dangerous. So we know that, but it's about us, you know, it's about us being finding our level, finding the right. We've got the motivation because that comes anyway. But in terms of everything that goes into the game, we got to be top. You know, that's the time of year it is, and we know that.
I know you say it is about you, but does it suit you if you have a team who want to come to play? You know, don't just come to sit in and make it hard for you.
I'd like to think we can do both. I think we've won all sorts of different types of games this season, in different ways, different grounds, different types of teams. So I'd like to think we can try and adapt as best as we can and make the most of the game.
And they have developed a habit recently of conceding from free kicks and corners. Their last six goals have been conceded that way. Does that give you a little something extra to work on this week?
Yeah, it won't change what we do. I think we've got a kind of process and a way of doing things, and we want to score set play and look dangerous off set plays on Saturday especially, and I think we're making good progress with that. So we'll focus on ourselves. We know what the game brings in the spaces and how we're looking to try and create and score goals, so that won't change.
Thank you.
Rav's obviously, you say there, you know, potentially nearly back. He hasn't been out for that long. So you would imagine when he's back fit, ready to go, kind of thing. Hayden's obviously been out that chunk longer. How much will you have to balance an understandable desire to get him back for what could be season defining games in the next six with the fact he's been out, he's a young lad, he's clearly a massive part of your future and all of that?
Yeah, to be honest, that's the constant balance, you know. It's as much as we're in it, it's a results business. We're here to win games, and there's the other element of and duty of care in some ways of looking after, especially the younger players and what they can manage and put them in situations that they should be in and not where they shouldn't be. So I think we'll make a good call on that. So and for the right reasons, you know.
Yes.
And we've got good players to choose from, so we're not desperate either. We've got good players that have shown that, so we'll make the right decision on that one.
We talked about Johnny a bit after Monday and obviously him going in at centre-half and everything. Do you think that, I mean, obviously, you know, we know that Johnny's, as he tells us whenever we speak, we're going towards the end of his career. He's not as young as he was. You know, who knows what will happen contract-wise. But if he was to be here next season, would centre-half be a semi-permanent option for him? And I just say that it feels like in the last few years, the demands on centre-halves has changed slightly in that being able to handle the ball under pressure is now probably much more of a centre-half's art than was maybe the case 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, I think you're right. It depends on what your team you're supposed to be playing, what style, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think it's difficult to say. Everyone's the same, but yeah, I understand what you're saying. I mean, it is going towards that direction, and especially the way we like to play, I think our centre-halves can handle the ball and are comfortable enough to do that. I think Johnny just shown really experience, what that brings as well, and gone through it myself at times, and you get dropped back to centre-half and actually find it quite enjoyable, that new challenge, and seeing the game slightly different. But in some ways it's a little bit easier, in some of the other ways it's a little bit more challenging. And I thought he's adapted fantastically well over the last couple of games. He'd done it last year at Luton and done the same. So
yeah,
if and when we kind of need to use him, then we know Johnny's there.
And have you had any more discussions with him contract-wise, or does that just wait now till the end of the season?
Yeah, not massively. I think that it'll get itself sorted out in due course, so I don't see a big issue with that.
And just one other one on kind of contract type issues. Senny Dieng has been linked today with a whole host of different clubs, supposedly watching him, etc. I mean, he's done ever so well for you this season. I presume it kind of goes without saying that in an ideal world, you definitely wouldn't want to lose a keeper who you put an awful lot of kind of trust and faith in to get just a summer ago.
Yeah, that's the nature of the beast. I don't take too much interest in any of that. And to be honest with you, I think that we know what squad we've got, we know what the players have got and what they're capable of. In terms of who's linked with who or what's going on, it doesn't bother me.
And just one more on the defence. I mean, you know, we've talked a lot about Johnny. Matt Clark, to a certain extent over the last month or so, has been your one fit centre-half, really. I mean, you know, given how long he was out and everything he got through just to get back playing this year, his performance levels over the last month have been superb for you, really, haven't they? You must be absolutely delighted with the way he's...
He's done so well, Clark, since he's been back, since he started back training. To be honest, you can see the gradual improvement all the way through. He's had a really good run of games. He's been a part of what we've done, especially recently, and shown his qualities, you know, and credit to him for that, because, you know, don't want to keep lumbering with him that, because he's moved on from the injury now, and he's shown that it's kind of in the past, and he's dealt with it fantastically well. And yeah, like I said, he's shown his qualities, and he's played really well.
And just lastly, in terms of the kind of playoff push, if you like, to what extent does it... How do you feel about the argument that because you're still 6 points away, to a certain extent, the expectation is very different to last season when you were in there all the way through? It was just a very different kind of end of the season. Is it... I don't want to say a free hit, that's completely wrong, but is it a... The expectation's not on you, so does that almost lend yourself to tackle these last six games differently to to last season, yeah, when
I think
it was
it's
over
the expectation
the top.
Expectation of what the expectation from ourselves to be as good as
to
we
be as good, yeah.
So it's kind of a relevant expectation around whoever's the expectation's coming from, you know.
Yeah.
I think it comes from us, really. We know how good we can be, we know how good we should be, we know where we feel we want to be in the league, so it's, it comes from that, ultimately.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, this stage, last season we were in the playoffs and it was looked like it was going to be the playoffs. It wasn't anything surrounding that affected us, it was just the way it ended up.
Yeah.
So
does that mean that...
It doesn't really change. What I'm saying is I think we're in a good run of results at the moment. We want to keep that going, we want to keep building, whether it's to finish the season strong, we want to keep them moving forward to next season, wherever that takes us, wherever the season ends. It's a constant, really. Results obviously come into play and from week to week, you know, you can count the points and it can change from game to game quite significantly and the table can look very different, but it doesn't always help us as in the performance, certainly the players, you know, they've shown what they can do and we need to be consistent. I've said that all along, and if we are consistent between now and the end of the season and we manage to pick up enough points, then who knows? Everyone near enough has got to play each other, and you look at it, some teams look like the tough one for them and the tough one for them, but
yeah,
this time of the season you can pick and choose and drive yourself mad. I think it's the next game and concentrate on that and keep chipping away.
So I guess whether you get in there or not, if in these next six games your performance level is basically what it's been for the last six games, you'll take that, because whatever else then happens, you've shown that this is what Middlesbrough are about, when maybe for the month before that it was much more like that.
Yeah, in some ways. In some ways, we're always striving to get better, and I thought there's been good signs, particularly over the last two games. I thought Southampton,
yeah.
I thought we showed a lot of good things, and then with the ball and looked dangerous and played some good football, what we wanted to kind of look like, really. And I said that after the game on Monday, that was kind of the performance that we were kind of looking for. So that was pleasing, and we're trying to build on that, really, coupled with results, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think we've gained enough over a period of time as a group and as a squad, moving in the direction that we are at the moment, that we can look to build on it now.
Just picking up on what you said at the end, Michael, obviously his return from injury has kind of coincided with the improvement in form and obviously a good defensive record as well. And I appreciate that's been, you know, more of a tailored package thing, but you know, does it say a lot about kind of Senny's influence in not just shot stopping but a whole range of factors?
Yeah, I think it's a team thing, to be honest. I do. I think it's a collective team thing. I think the boys are defending really well from the front, and I think that's so important that we get that, and then that hopefully that dilutes the amount of work behind that everyone's got to do, and makes everyone's job that little bit easier, and hopefully we want the goalkeeper to have next to nothing to do, really. And at times Sonny's had to make some good saves, some big saves for us. Other times he's been a bit quieter, and maybe him or Tom has been before. So there's a lot of factors in it, but I think ultimately as a group, as a team, as a squad, I think we're a lot more, or we have been, not to say we will keep it, but we need to keep doing it, but we're a lot more solid and we're working together as a group, so everyone's jobs are that little bit less to do.
Yeah, obviously in possession as well, the goalkeeper here has, you know, a lot to do in terms of starting the attacks and things like that. I mean, it was something that Zach did so well last season. How encouraging has it been that kind of Senny just came in and did that so seamlessly?
Yeah, he's did it well. Tom's did it well when he's played. That's kind of what we want to look like, as a talk about the centre backs and the defenders and being comfortable on the ball. It's, you know, it's something we expect or we ask for from the players, and I think it suits the way the individuals are playing to their strengths. So the players that we've brought in have been exactly to do that. Senny was obviously that, and he's done that really well.
We spoke earlier about the kind of set piece threat in the game on Monday, and obviously Sam was taking those set pieces. It's been probably a bit of a tricky period for him in recent months, but on Monday, you know, he showed a lot of the kind of qualities that he has, which must be really pleasing for you.
Yeah, let's not forget Sam's young, you know, and in some ways it's his first full season of first team football, so I think it's understandable at some point you're going to have bit of waves through the season. I think that's the thing that certainly I understand the coaches and the younger players are going to have that, and we need to manage that as well and pick and choose when they're in the team, when they're not in the team, or and give them the best chance of performing. That was a terrific character, great attitude, gives everything. You see his work rate, he's someone who brings a lot to the team. When you're talking about the, you know, clean sheets or goalkeepers not having much to do, it starts from the front, and Sam's a big part of that. So yeah, he's had some big moments for us. He's scored some important goals, and I'm sure he'd like to have one or two more goals, but that'll come if he keeps doing the right things.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that there. Obviously, he is a lone player, and when you're going through a tricky period, there was a period for the club as a whole where it was in danger of kind of fizzling out. It might have been easier, and it wouldn't have been a guarantee for particularly lone players to kind of, you know, stick in and keep going, but clearly Sam has.
I'll be honest, a lone player or one of our players, if you're going to cut, they're all our players. I don't treat them any different. Sam being a younger one, Bill being, we call him Bill, Luke Aylin being a lot older, two lone players, treat them exactly as this, and they are our players, so there's no different in that. And we try and help Sam, whether it's here, whether it ends up being somewhere else or for his career, we try and help development and help educate him, really, to help him for the rest of his career. So it doesn't, like we would with Hayden or a Rav or a Josh or a Finchie, whoever it is, it doesn't change, you know, whether they come from the academy or not. Part of us is trying to help players for now, for next season, and for the rest of their careers, you know, that's what we believe.
I went to a talk with Jim Platt last night, who was a Borough keeper, international keeper, and he picked out Senny Dieng from the whole team. And Jim had the luxury of playing behind the same defence for most of his career at Middlesbrough. Senny, as that defence in front of him, of all the injuries, that it seems to have impacted the defence more. So if you could say anything about Senny Dieng, really.
Yeah, it's nothing I haven't really said. I think it definitely helps when we have a consistent team. It helps the individuals, and it's not. And I've said it many times. It's not so much the individual who's playing at any given time. It's the amount of changes from game to game that we've had to take, and I think that does make it a little bit more challenging. The boys have done it really well in terms of being a defensive unit. I think it helps to have that understanding of playing together all the time as well. And there's always players that have come in and out, and it's not to say it's going to be the same team every game all season, but it certainly helps to have an understanding. The boys gain that from training, you know, and as a goalkeeper, of course, you know, you as stable as possible and as calm as possible helps everybody else.
Yeah, and you said about players coming in and out. I guess a player that, if we go back to the Southampton game, a player that maybe has had to wait a long time to make an impact is Alex Gilbert with a cross for the goal at the end. Is it sure there's still time in this season for a player to really make an impact and make an impression?
Loads of time left. Who knows what's going to happen now, you know, and results will tell. There's loads of time left, and hopefully there's bigger moments than that one left in this one.
Thanks very much.